The reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is the pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Would you like to be seated, please? Thank you. Well, if you weren't aware this morning, you are now. Today's the first Sunday of Lent. I'm sure you were. And Lent is a time, isn't it, when Christians give things up. Now, I was going to give up meat for Lent, but I just couldn't quit cold turkey. Impossible. So I'm giving up negativity for Lent. Let's see how long that lasts, shall we? So in today's gospel, we meet Jesus in the wilderness. Now, when you think wilderness, don't think of the New Forest. Don't think of the Lake District or Peak District with its pubs and cafes and toilets. If you've seen Bear Grylls on the TV, which I'm sure you have, you'll know that a wilderness is big and it's dry and it's empty. There's nothing for miles around. No post office. No Uber Eats, no phone signal. Jesus was in a real wilderness, just blazing heat during the day and shivering cold at nighttime, and 40 days of hunger. And the reading today begins by catching our attention with this. In verse 1, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And I found that interesting because it would appear that the Holy Spirit doesn't just lead us into exciting experiences and joyful times. Sometimes the Spirit leads us into hard places. And for us, Lent might feel like just such a hard place or a hard season. It may feel a bit like a wilderness, giving up things in secret, things that we really like, or committing to improve our prayer and devotion to God. It can seem quite daunting. It can feel a bit like entering a spiritual wilderness. And we read that in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted by the devil. In verse 2, we read that Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. I often think that's perhaps the biggest understatement in the whole Bible. He was hungry. A bit of a throwaway comment. He must have been famished after 40 days of not eating any food. And the devil says to him, "If you are the Son of God," firstly questioning and getting Jesus to doubt his identity, "if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." In other words, use your power to look after yourself first and feed yourself. Now, there's nothing wrong with bread. Bread is good. We like eating bread, don't we? Especially warm bread with butter on it. It's delicious. But the temptation that Jesus experiences is deeper than this. It's this: put your physical needs above your Father's will. And Jesus replies, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He's saying, there is something more important than my comfort or my appetite or my instant physical relief. So do we, like Jesus, reach for God first when life is uncomfortable? Then we come to the next temptation in verse 5. The devil takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple and says, "Jump! Jump! God will rescue you. Angels will catch you. It says so in the Psalms." In other words, prove yourself. Force God's hand and make him do a miracle. It's the temptation to be spiritually proud, to try and make God prove himself, but on my terms. But Jesus answers, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Faith is about trust. It isn't about testing God's faithfulness. A lot of people say at least once during their lives, and I'll be happy to say I'm one of those people, "God, if you're there, help me out of this problem, and then I'll believe." It's quite common. And the funny thing is that even when God keeps his side of the bargain, often people don't, right? So Jesus doesn't try to manipulate the Father, but he trusts him instead. And finally, the devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. "You can have all that power, all the trappings and all the glory. No suffering, no cross required. Just bow down to me." It's the temptation to take the shortcut to glory. Take the easy way, skip the suffering, avoid the cross. But Jesus came to save the world not by compromising, not by avoiding the Father's will. And Jesus answers simply, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." No shortcuts, no dealings with the devil. So what does it all mean for us? Well, I think first and foremost, today we're reminded that temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted. He was fully tempted, but did not sin. Temptation does not mean you're failing. It just simply means you're human. Okay? Temptation is a normal thing for all of us to experience. And the good news of this passage is that it's not a case of us just having to try harder. The good news is that Jesus has already faced the wilderness and the temptations, and he's won. And because he stood firm in the wilderness, he could later stand firm in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was arrested. And because he stood firm in Gethsemane, he could stand firm on the cross. And because he went to the cross, the truth is that there is mercy for all of us when we fall. You don't become a Christian by being strong in the wilderness. You become a Christian by trusting the one who was strong for you. So as we begin Lent, here are a couple of questions that I'm asking myself, and I invite you also to consider these questions. Firstly, am I tempted to rely on anything instead of God, first and foremost? And secondly, have I actually put my trust in Christ, or am I still trying to prove myself? If you've never consciously trusted him, Lent is a good time to start. It doesn't need to be dramatic. You only have to quietly say, Lord Jesus, I trust you. Forgive me, strengthen me, and lead me. And he does. At the end of the story, it says, then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. That means the wilderness is not forever. It's finite. It has its limits. And temptation does not get the final word. So as we begin Lent, don't be afraid if it feels a bit like the wilderness. Because the same Spirit who led Jesus into the wilderness also walks with you. And that's good news for all of us. Amen.